This is a message by Percy Ray, preached at Camp Zion, July 1965. The title of his message is Suffering with God's People, taken from Hebrews 11, 23 through 29.
Authority of the kingdom and the riches of the kingdom and all of the glory that went along with being king. He refused all of it, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God. Amen. He had a choice. He was in position to make a choice. There was no, my friends, they was not forced. There was pressure, I'm sure. All kinds of pressure put on for him to stay with Pharaoh, stay with the king. All sorts of honor and riches and everything imaginable was placed there before him and offered, and all kind of pressures brought to bear. Those who listened said, "Why, you are a fool not to receive it." Then he made a choice.
Amen.
The choice was that he'd suffer the affliction with God's people. He chose to take God's people with all of the hardships and with all of the afflictions and with all of the persecution that might come. He was willing, my friends, to turn all of this other and turn his back on it, to go with God's people. We're facing the same thing today. There it was, it meant crucifying self, crucifying his fleshly ambitions, crucifying himself to the extent of wanting to be rich, crucifying himself to the extent of wanting authority and power, crucifying himself to the crown and the glory. All of those crucifying moments must take place in his life. There it was. Christ stepped down out of the glory, and all of the riches of heaven became lower than the angels, and took upon himself the shame of the cross. And it was a matter of fact of what Moses would choose to be likened unto the Master, unto Christ, or be likened unto the earthly kingdoms of this world. My brother, my sister, that's the position you and I are in today. We shall receive the applaud of men and the crown of men and the approval of men, or we shall be crucified to that and choose to stand with God's people.
Amen.
God's people will suffer all sorts of hardships in the years that's ahead of us. We'll suffer persecution. We'll suffer tortures and terrors. We'll suffer humiliations. We'll suffer dishonors. We'll suffer, no doubt, the disgrace from the world that looks on. But it's a question of whether we shall suffer that and bear the shame and the reproach of the cross, or whether we shall choose the pleasures of sin for a season. That's the thing that's facing us. Here's a man in position to do either. He had the right. He had the choice. He had the opportunity. He was old enough to make up his own mind.
Amen.
He made it. His mother didn't make it for him. His loved ones didn't make it for him. Like Paul of old, Paul said, "I didn't consult flesh and blood."
Amen.
When I realized I was separated from my mother's womb and saved by God's grace and calling of God to reveal to the heathen the Christ, said, "I didn't consult flesh and blood."
Amen.
But I went at the job that God had saved me and ordained me and separated me from my mother's womb for. My friends, we must not consult flesh and blood.
Amen.
Because no flesh and blood knows your calling.
Amen.
They know not your calling. They know not, neither mama, nor daddy, nor brother, nor sister, nor friend knows him back to the call of God
right.
in a human heart.
Right.
So why, if the call is vivid and clear, without any doubts or fears, why fool away consulting with flesh and blood when you know what God said is to be done? Paul didn't stop to see what people were going to think about it, or what attitude this is going to take about it, or how this is going to feel about it. He had one thing in mind, and that is the purpose of God for my life. Moses, in like manner, it mattered not what the kings thought, nor the king's family, nor the king's kingdom thought. It doesn't matter about that. The whole story that he was concerned about was stealing the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He just didn't count those things, if you please, of value. Not at all. Because he preferred to suffer hardship to the people of God than to have the passing enjoyment that results from sin. Though the reproach endured for Christ was greater wealth than all of the treasures in Egypt, for he kept his eye upon the reward. By faith he left Egypt, because he's not afraid of the king's anger.
Amen.
For he persevered as though he were actually seeing him who is unseen.
Amen.
By faith he instituted the Passover and the pouring of the blood upon the doorpost, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they crossed the Red Sea as though it were dry land, while the Egyptians, in attempting it, were drowning. By faith, Moses placed out there for his arm, he instituted the Passover supper, that the destroyer might not destroy his people. My friends, he cared not for the temporary crowns and riches of kingdoms. He is concerned about the reward of him who holds that of ours worth, for the thieves cannot steal.
Amen.
Rust cannot corrode and moths cannot eat it.
Right.
He was concerned looking to him who's able to keep his treasures to where they'll be enjoyable forever and not for a season. We face those things today. He was willing to suffer with God's people. If I've got to suffer, I want to suffer with God's people.
Amen. That's right.
That's the ones I want to suffer with.
Amen.
If I've got to be tortured, if I've got to be maligned, if I've got to be beaten and torn, if I've got to give my life and my blood, I want to do it for God's people.
Amen.
If I've got to give my talents and my energies and my efforts, God help me to give it for God's people.
Amen.
For the cause of the Christ. For the church that he loved.
Yes.
Gave himself for. If I've got to suffer. If I must be persecuted. If I must be hated. If I must be tortured. If I must be cast down. If I must be dishonored, let it be for God's people.
Yes. Amen.
That's my desire today. That's my ambition today. We're going to suffer one way or the other. Ladies and gentlemen, we're headed in this country to suffering one way or the other. We're going to suffer for sin, or we're going to suffer for Jesus. We're going to suffer with the devil's crowd, or we're going to suffer with God's people. But I choose, my friends, by the help of Almighty God, to suffer with God's people.
Amen.
Right. Take your riches. Take your crowns. Take your glory. Take your honors. Take your kingdoms. But give me a simple life in the Church of Christ.
Amen.
Right. Let me leave it. I wouldn't swap it. I sat recently in a little simple church building. Very simple. But I sat there in the quiet of moments. And I said, oh, thank God for the testimony and for what this little simple church house has done for my fellow man.
Yes. Amen.
In its simplicity. In its maybe unnoticed activity. In its maybe laughed at and pointed at with ridicule, thrown off on and criticized. But I thought, oh my, it still performed its little ministry.
Amen.
Those who met here time after time in simplicity and in sincerity and in honor to God. Then I thought about the multitudes and the fancy nightclubs and the fancy places of the world with all of their lights and excitement and thrills and their wealth and all. And I said, one of these days a casket will be rolled down the aisle. What'll count then? What'll count then? But a simple faith. And believe it's of God. Years ago, I was in one of the largest funeral homes in the country. We also had a factory. And up over it, he had a big sign over this building of manufacturing. Try one of our caskets. And you'll never try anybody else's. And that was true. And I went in through then his display room. And overhead was mirrors and the walls was mirrors. And I stood there and watched people come in try on caskets one after another. Women would come in and get on them and look to see how they look. And get out of that and get in another one. And then they'd buy one and put their name down and put a down payment on it. And he'd write down their instructions when they were gone. And then he scared me into the clothing room. And he showed me simple shrouds that cost $5. And then he showed me some that cost $100 and $500 and $1,000. And then all in between, some of the most gorgeous dead folk toes you ever looked at. And as we went through, we got to look and he said, "Preacher," he said, "there's something about all of these that's identical, from the cheapest to the richest. They're all alike in one thing." "Did you catch on?" I said, "No." "Oh," I said, "oh yes. I noticed, I remembered his thing out on front." And I said, "Imagine when you wear one of these, you never wear anybody else's." I said, "No, that isn't it." He said, "None of them have pockets." "So like," I said, "well, why, sir?" He said, "they got no hands to put in them. Why have pockets? And they got nothing to carry with them. Why have pockets?"
Amen.
That's the thing that Moses was thinking about. One of these days these hands would be folded and the shrouds and the rich clothing and the purple linens would need no pockets. The thing Moses was thinking about, he'd carry none of those riches of Egypt with him. They would be of no avail. The crowns of the kingdom would fade and be trash at the gates of a new Jerusalem.
Right.
He saw the unseen hour when all riches and all kingdoms and all powers had gone out of business
right.
and been discarded as garbage and trash on the road.
Amen.
He's going to a city where the streets are made out of purer gold than the crowns of the kings.
That's right.
He needed no king's robe because he's got a tailor-made robe waiting for him at the gate.
Amen.
One that will not deteriorate nor get dirty.
Amen.
One that will need no laundry. Why, it's filled with one that'll become threadbare and worn and filthy when he's got one waiting at the gate that'll never wear, nor threadbare, nor tarnish,
Amen.
Nor fade. Oh, he's made a choice here. When he looked at the future, when he saw the finished product, when he saw the reward of the two lives, when he sees it, he's got sense enough to choose
Amen.
That which fadeth not. Have you got as much sense, ladies and gentlemen, to face the issue this morning? You're choosing between permanency and temporary. Which shall you do?
Amen.
Oh, it matters not about the hardships and the heartaches and the persecution and the ridicule. What about the end? What about the eternity of it? 60 years and by reason of strength 80. And then that's over. But an eternal citizenship, ladies and gentlemen, has begun.
Amen.
This is not home. You're on a pilgrimage. Where are you headed anyway? What's your hope? What you think you're going to anyhow?
Right.
What good is these 2 years if you miss the boat when you cross the river? Then we stop to recognize something else, my friends. We are unwanted. They shall not keep company with us. As soon as Moses made his choice, he said, "Get out." Get you and your crowd and get out. We'll kill you. And the king got so mad because his hope to be son wouldn't take the kingdom and take his position and carry it on for him. He got so mad, he said, "Let's destroy them." And they set out to bring destruction. But the destruction turned the other way around. It didn't work. The king's plans faltered and fell through and failed. But Moses simply put the blood on the doorpost and said, "The destroyer shall not come behind this."
Amen.
But I mind you, the destroyer went in behind the king's money, the king's chamber, the king's security, the king's guards, the king's riches, the king's glory, the king's army, the king's everything.
Yeah.
The death angel stalked in behind and took the life of the firstborn out of there.
Yeah, that's right.
With the simple stroke of the blood on the doorpost. Moses said, "Not behind this shall you take a soul."
Amen.
Then, my friends, when the king could no longer stand it, there came a crossing of the sea. Moses, by faith, said, "We shall go across." And his faith in God held back the waters and dried out the ground, and they kicked up dust in the bottom of the sea for the glory of God as he shouted across.
Amen.
But the king and his crowd, the king's crowd that followed, drowned.
Right.
And their carcasses floated in defeat. Who made the right choice?
Amen.
Who chose right? Moses said, "Thank you for the king's offer, the riches of the kingdom. Thank you for Egypt. But in simple faith, I'll stay with God's people."
Amen. Amen.
And he stayed. Who won? Same one won that's going to win the next time.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Exactly. The blood kept the destroyer off that time, and it'll keep him off the next time.
Yes, thank God.
But the king's riches and the king's power and the king's position and the king's glory and the king's everything else didn't keep it off, did it? Who's made the right choice? Well, Joshua of old said, "Well, I've looked it all over. And as for me and my house, we'll serve God. Take your choice."
Amen.
"But as for me and mine, we're going to serve God. You go whatever way you want to go."
Amen.
Like Joshua of old, "I want to reconfirm my position today. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. If it hell, it's the devil and wrecks everything he's got." If it defeats all of his sympathizers and kills them all, I'll still serve God.
Amen.
My mind shatter.
Amen.
You say there's not a lot you can do. Like an old colored woman during the army when the Yankees took over. She ran out with a broomstick waving at them. One of the Yankees cussed and said, "Oh, Mammy, what can you do?" She said, "Bless God, I'm sure whose side I'm on."
Yeah. Amen.
I may not can do nothing but wave a broomstick for God, and I may be all that's left to wave it, but I'll let you know whose side I'm on.
Amen.
Yeah. May not be a thing but a broomstick in comparison to what the rest of the world's got with their cannons and marching armies and organizations. But the world will find out whose side I'm on.
Yeah, amen.
I'll wave some kind of a stick that's nothing but a piece of briar bush.
Amen.
I had one hair in my head that had leaned towards the world this morning and the devil tried to pull it out.
Amen. Amen.
Then let's notice something else. In this scripture. Rejoicing that they've been considered worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus' name. Rejoicing after the council had beat them up, given the orders and said, "You can't. We're not going to put up with you." After the council had done all they could do to put them out, they left the council room. After the condemnation and after the sentence and after the scourging and after the whooping, they left rejoicing that they'd been counted worthy to suffer. I'm so glad this morning that God counted me worthy to suffer. A lot of people ain't worthy. A lot of people ain't fit today. Many are called. You are chosen. I'm so glad that He counted me worthy. He chose me and said, "Son, I believe you're worthy to suffer for me. I believe you're worthy to suffer for me. And I ought to pick you out. I choose you and recognize you as being worthy to suffer for me. And for my church. And for my son. I'm just grateful. Eternally grateful. That out of the many that was called, He chose me as one to suffer a little bit. He didn't have to. His kneeling multitude this morning. He could have chose to do it. I see Cain. God chose him. Called him to fill a vital place in His kingdom. But Cain wanted to do it his way. Cain wasn't willing to do it like God said, do it. And God wouldn't use him. And then God said, "Cain, I'll give you a second chance." You know, he didn't take it. And God just cut him out of it. Mocked him. Made him a fugitive and a vagabond. But you know, God went on with His plans. And they've gone right on. Then I see another one. That is Esau. God had a plan. You need the man to declare it and honor it and respect it. Esau sold it for a mess of pottage. He wanted to get out in the sport world. He's too busy being a playboy to be serious for God. And he got so busy playing, he lost the vision of what God had. He got so engulfed and so excited about his sports, he lost sight of God's purpose and plan. He got so all involved and so enthralled with it, he sold out his chance for a mess of pottage. You find him spending the rest of his life crawling around weeping, trying to get back in. But he never did find it. God's done closed the gap and gone on. He's trying to find the gap that's closed. My friends, there's a lot of things we have to forego to set in God's kingdom, to carry on God's activity. Some things we just have to forego. We just can't make it. Do what God wants done. No, my friends, God would have used Esau. God would have used Cain. God would have used others. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came along, God wanted to use them. And they said, if it's so far, God, you can burn us. That's all right. When Daniel came along, he said, that's all right. If it's the lion's den to accomplish the purpose of God, I'm ready for the lion's den. Who won? You see the difference?
Amen.
Even though it took the fiery furnace seven times hotter, those three boys said, God's plan is more vital than our bodies.
Yes.
Daniel said, God's purpose, God's honoring His kingdom is more vital than my carcass in the mouth of a lion. But who won? You know, there's your two opposite directions. There's your two. Where are you? You're going to sit down on the job and say, I can't go any further. You're going to get engulfed in the whirl of the world and say, I don't care anymore. And get cut out. Or are you going to stay if it's the lions and the fires? And let God win it.
Amen.
It's up to us, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Nobody will force you out of the way. You'll make your choice. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. If it seem evil to serve God, then make up your mind who you're going to run with. But if you don't mean to serve God, said, don't you say you're going to. Because if you say you're going to and don't do it, God will hurt you. That's what he said. They said, we'll serve God. He said, now, if you don't mean it, don't say it. Because God will do you hurt if you say it and don't do it. So there's no place, God, in it all. But my friends, think about it. There it is. Are you worthy to suffer? Are you worthy? The whole business is this. When God needed a man, he picked out Job and said, Job will stand. He won't fail. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will stand. They won't fail. Daniel will stand. He won't fail.
Amen.
Will you stand and not fail? There's the question. You say, oh, the preacher can't see. Who's on the other side of the dark? Who's on the other side of the night? God's still there. When the night's gone.
Amen.
You say, oh, preacher, I just don't have no vision. I just can't see. It's all gone dark. If you could see, you wouldn't have no faith nohow. You wouldn't be worth a salt gold in your bread. My friends, when you can see, that's not faith.
Amen.
That's sight. Faith is when you can't see. But your preach is on the other side of the veil.
Yeah.
On the other side of the dark. I'm not worried about what I can't see. I'm just worried about what I might miss then.
Amen.
If I don't keep a going.
Yes, that's right.
Shame of the cross, yes, there's shame with it, my friends. We just as well to face it. There's dishonor connected with the cross. There's scorn connected with the cross. There's contempt connected with the cross. There's hate connected with the cross. Look in the book of Matthew and you find, my friends, that it tells us that there'll be hate connected with it. It's not something just to be taken lightly and cheaply, but there is, my friend, some hate connected with it. We just as well to face the reality of that. In the 22nd verse, you find these words, my friends, that we must recognize before God that there's going to be some hating going on if you follow Jesus. 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll find these words, "Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end will be saved."
Amen.
Everybody will hate you, but when it's all over, you're saved. And I don't get excited when people get mad at me and start slamming the line, thrashing and turning against and quitting and running off and everything else. Don't excite me because I'll still be saved when they all get through anyhow.
Yeah.
Have none saved me because some folks got on willing to go with God. I'm still saved. He's saved next time here, tell him. We face some things, my friends, that we must. And then, notice, suffering for Christ's shame, for Christ's sake. He said he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. Sin is seasonable. Sin's only seasonable. Soon the season will be over. And when the season's over, it's all gone to seed on you. You can't produce any more. You know, when something goes to seed, it dies out. But as long as it ain't gone to seed, it's still a growing. Sin is for a season. The prodigal had a season of sin. He enjoyed sin for a season. But when the season was over, where was he?
Yeah.
In the hog pen.
Mm-hmm.
Lot and his family put that tent down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't leave anything from it. Such good grass down there, such good water. Gonna get rich in a hurry. Gonna get it made. Uncle Abram's got it made, and I'm gonna get rich like Uncle Abram. Pitched his tent down the woods, Sodom and Gomorrah, and forgot family altars and forgot dedication to God. And he enjoyed it for a season. But when the season was over,
yes.
What then? What then? Lost his family? Lost his cattle? Lost his herdmen? Lost his character? Lost his honor? Came out in disgrace and shame.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi went over with her daughter-in-law and lived God out. Enjoyed sin for a season. When Naomi come home, she said, "I went out full. I come back empty."
What?
Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara.
Mm-hmm.
I went out full. God's brought me back empty. Mm-hmm. Too late for another family. to pour life in, and they're gone now. That was a season of sin. But the season's over. I could call your attention to others, but that's all that's necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, sin is seasonable. Oh, Moses had all the king's beautiful offers, but it's seasonable. And I'm looking beyond the seasons, and I see something more vital than the pleasures and the riches of the kingdom. Yes, when sin's finished, it's brought death. Your happiness has ceded. There will be no more happiness. Your peace has gone to seed. There will be no more peace. Your honor has come to naught. After the season of sin's over, your honor's dead. There will be no more honor. There will be no more happiness. There will be no more peace. That after the season of sin's over, your hope's dead. What is it a hope for? Your character gone. Your happiness gone. Your health gone. The confidence of people gone in you. Everything's gone. The season of sin's over. The pleasures have ended. And season of sin's ripened and gone to seed and died out and produced death. Hope gone. Nothing beyond it. What is it to hope for? No, your life's spent. Your life's over. It's ended. It's run its course. It's come to the end of the road. The evening shadows are falling. The drapes are drawn. What is it to hope for? No, it's all been spent with pleasure and sin. Nothing to go in with. Must I go empty-handed? Then famine comes. Famine comes. Always after the season of sin, famine comes. Sin kills everything. Then there's a famine, and there's nothing to help the famine. Sin's killed everything you have. It's left you in a famine, and no way to look for a famine to be over in your life. The harvest is past. The summer's ended, and I'm empty-handed, fixing to go to spend an eternity empty-handed. No, there won't be another season for me. There won't be another harvest period for me. I spent mine in vanity, vainly. It's ended. Summer's come and ended. The fruit-bearing warmth has ended. The cold, chilly winters have come. Death, empty. The harvest is past. And I'm emptied. Handed to go in to the winter months with no harvest. My friends, shame to be so foolish. Let's notice one or two other passages right there. So they went out from the presence of the council rejoicing that they'd been considered worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
Worthy to suffer disgrace for Jesus' sake. Then listen to this. Women by resurrection received their dead again. Others endured tortures because they would not accept release that they might rise to a better life. So others stood the test of taunts and tortures, even chains and prisons. They were stoned to death. They were tortured to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. With nothing on their bodies but skins of sheep and of goats, they wandered here and there. Destitute, oppressed, mistreated, men of whom the world was not worthy, though wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Though all of these people by their faith won God's approval. They want His approval.
Amen.
Whose approval are you looking for today?
Yes.
Amen. Sown asunder. Nothing to wear but goat skins. Tortures. But they would not ask God to release them.
Amen.
Because he's looking for a better way.
Yeah.
Hey, it's so God, it's getting so rough and rugged and hard. Release me. I don't want to be released. Maybe you do. But at home.
That's right.
I don't care how rough it gets. I still don't want to be released.
Amen.
You may, but I don't. You know why? Let me read it to you, and I'm through. Gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off their hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Who's talking? Jesus.
Amen.
And listen again. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death.
Amen.
He was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor.
Amen.
He bore my sentence.
Yeah.
He suffered for me. I don't want release.
Amen.
All I want is grace. And he promised that. He said, my grace is sufficient. So there's nothing to worry about, is there? Others have suffered. Others refuse release. He tied me worthy to suffer.
Yeah.
He picked me out to suffer. I don't want to disappoint him. Do you?
No.
Okay. Paul said, isn't it wonderful to suffer a little bit for him who suffered everything?
Right.
I don't want release. Do you? We must face it. It's up to us.
Amen.
There was a nation, Nineveh, is about to go under. Only 40 days till she went. There's only a man that could help him, and that was Jonah. Jonah tried to become a playboy. But it didn't work in his play. A storm came. if God counted you worthy and chose you. No need to start playing.
That's right.
A storm will hit your boat. So why wait for the storm? Ain't no need. First place, I don't want to.
Amen.
What if Jonah hadn't have gone? Nineveh would have perished.
Right.
What if Jesus hadn't have come? You and I would have been in hell.
True.
What if other men had not suffered torture? Suppose these that we mentioned in the book of Hebrews, suppose they asked God for release. Now, God, just release me. Let me out of it. Let me out of it. Lord God, let me out of it. Suppose they'd asked to have been released and God had let them out. What would it have done to faith of others? What would it have done to the faith of others? My brethren, my sisters, I don't want release.
That's right.
Because if God gives me release, what's it going to do to the faith of others?
That's right.
What will it do to the faith of others? Suppose I just say, now God, release me. The pressure's too stout and the pressure's too strong. Tired, worn, and torn, and overworked. And God, just release me. Let me go off and be a playboy. What would it do to the faith of others? If God released me. You say, oh, preacher, God wouldn't. He did Cain. He did Esau. And I could name some more recent ones. That'll be a familiar name to many of you who sit here. He did them. And he would me. But what would it do to the faith of others?
That's right.
God counted me worthy. And I just want to say thank you, God, for counting me worthy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Since you counted me worthy, Lord, I want to renew my covenant. To suffer.
Amen.
I want to stay with God's people in His simple little church.
Yes.
You'll make your own choice, not me.
Amen.
This is the message God sent to you today.
Amen.
I'm not much of a proposition preacher. But at 2:30 this morning, he told me to give you a chance to renew your vows. Your covenant. Whatever you want to call it. You've wavered. If the devil scared you away, if the devil's tempted you, outside and become a playboy in the world. I beg in the name of Jesus. Overcome him today.
Yes.
By your testimony that I shall not be moved.
Amen.
I'll stand where I stand.